B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, May 10th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, in celebration of Mother's Day this weekend, we'll talk about mothers in video games. Plus, Sony held their second State of Play event. We'll go over all of the huge announcements. Those conversations are here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Bethesda has pulled an Elder Scrolls tabletop scenario following accusations of plagiarism. When compared, the text in the new Elsewhere book sounds remarkably similar to that of a 2016 D&D adventure titled The Black Road. The campaign was to be a promotion for the upcoming ESO expansion.
This was pretty bad. Like, they literally just kind of like moved some words around.
Yeah,
oh.
Do you guys want to hear what
sure,
this sounded like?
Sure, let's hear a comparison.
All right, here we go. Here was the original from the D&D comparison. There's nothing like the desert to make people feel small and insignificant. In every direction, huge dunes roll across the landscape, and an even bigger sky looms above. The Oasis of Werethil is a motley collection of sun-bleached tents in the vast Anorak Desert.
Okay.
Compared to the Elsewhere book, nothing beats the desert to make people feel small and unimportant. In every direction, enormous dunes roll across the landscape, and an even larger empty sky airs above it. The oasis on the border between Cyrodiil and Elsewhere is a colorful collection of sun-drenched tents in the vast desert of Elsewhere.
Did you even
wait a minute.
You didn't even try.
That's not an accusation of plagiarism. That's just plagiarism.
You just
stole it.
Oh, God. They probably did the right thing removing it.
Pulling it. Definitely the right call on that one.
Someone probably lost their job because of it.
I would think so.
But, like, you would think, like, why would you phone that in?
No, because somebody
even
says,
try?
It's an Elder Scrolls tabletop. Ain't nobody about to buy this. Whatever.
This is someone at marketing who got assigned this task and was like, I don't know what a D&D campaign sounds like, I guess. And they just stole one.
This is Bethesda. You can't find someone
who can handle a fantasy RP scenario.
Oh, that wouldn't get into it. Come on.
Ubisoft has officially confirmed leaks that came out last week. They've unveiled a new Ghost Recon game titled Breakpoint. The open-world shooter will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 4th, 2019. The game will not be coming to Steam, but will be available on Epic Store and Uplay.
Ooh. Oh, another one!
I knew I was going to see you again, Epic.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint. You know what? I got to tell you, Ghost Recon is not a series that I was ever a huge fan of.
Me either, but I keep hearing good things about it.
I was about to say, but when I encounter the Ghost Recon community, they're always such great ambassadors for that brand of game.
I have tried playing it a handful of times.
Oh, how recently?
Not recently at all.
So we're talking like the early Ghost Recon games.
Yes,
then.
But when it was, it's always been heavily praised. It's very well thought of.
Yeah.
I've never really been able to get into it. So,
fair enough.
I'm not, I don't know if that's kind of turned me off from being open to the idea. Unless it's Splinter Cell, if it's got Tom Clancy on it, I'm really not interested.
No.
I liked Rainbow Six. I feel like everyone has their Tom Clancy game that they're into.
Yeah. Everyone has one. Mine was Rainbow Six. You're only allowed one, because if you have two, now you've signed a contract that you have to read every Tom Clancy book that's ever been written, and I don't think that there's enough time on Earth.
Once you read one, you didn't read them all.
Hey, that was Bethesda's model for their Hellstore campaign.
Jeez.
Joe, this is the one with John Bernthal in it, too, isn't it? Isn't he using his likeness and stuff? You know, I don't have a Tom Clancy game yet. Maybe I'll Ghost check Recon. This one out.
Hey. Leave us out of your union issues, Delta. We've got enough of them on our own. Delta ran a campaign last week. They ran a campaign stating that the average union dues in the U.S. are $700. The campaign urged employees to not unionize and instead buy a new video game console. It's particularly tasteless given the state of union issues in the gaming industry.
So what we should do is unionize.
Yes, you should. Yeah. You know what? That's what you get, Delta. Yes, all Delta employees, you should unionize. Don't buy that new gaming console.
No.
With all the latest hits.
With all the latest hits, yeah.
Google just announced Stadia. Why do you need
to... Yeah, do that.
Yeah, like that seems like a way more cost-effective option. And you can play it possibly off the Wi-Fi in the plane.
Listen, Delta, you're one of the only airlines I can stand flying with. Really, don't do this.
Don't do this.
Do not make me take a stand.
And especially the fact that, like I did see, like, it was like a poster or the pamphlet where they had the controller on it.
Yeah. I'll just say this, man. It ain't a good look when Spirit got the moral high ground.
Correct. The redemption arc for the Shanghai Dragons came to a close a little earlier than people hoped. The San Francisco Shock did exactly what they were expected to do, defeating the Dragons and advancing to the semifinals. China is still alive in the Stage 2 playoffs, however, as the Hangzhou Spark pulled off a 3-1 victory over the London Spitfire.
Now, despite that, the Dragons put on a hell of
a show. Last week I said the Dragons play San Francisco better than anybody else in the stage, and they proved that again. It really... 3-1 is almost unfair to how well the Dragons played.
And to that, they did end the golden streak as well. So, congratulations.
Ubisoft has decided to share the wealth coming out of their growing esports scene. Following a successful start to the year for Rainbow Six, Ubisoft has added over $1 million to the prize pools for four of their major events. The U.S. Major is now worth $500,000, and the Pro League will have a pool of $626,000.
Those are staggeringly high figures.
For like, Rainbow Six.
For Rainbow Six, considering that it's still very much a niche esport.
It is, but it's a growing esport. I'll tell you what, when you watch the viewership numbers, it's climbing for that game.
They are aggressively marketing it.
Yeah, like, Rainbow Six has a film being produced about it. Is it complete?
I think it's already come out, I'm not sure if it's available on like YouTube or what, but I did hear about that. And again, they are aggressively marketing it.
Definitely.
I feel like they're spending a lot of money, though, and I have to wonder if the gains that they're seeing are, you know, worth the money that they're spending.
The Counter-Strike community is currently upset over clashes between Refresh and ESL. The issue? Refresh, who owns Astralis as well as the Blast Pro Series, are starting to run more events, and they're overlapping with the ESL. The result is things like what happened at IEM Sydney, where Astralis didn't compete, to instead compete in a Blast Pro event this weekend. Any team that has a partnership with Refresh, including major names like Team Liquid, will have to skip some ESL events to attend Blast events.
Well, that explains it.
That would explain it.
We were scratching our heads why and we weren't seeing Astralis out at ESL.
And to confirm, people do like the Blast Pro Series events, but they're kind of seen as more entertainment-y versus, like, the prestigious, the highest competition. So when people are now seeing, like, hey, IEM Sydney just had to compete without Astralis at it, what the hell's up with that? That's why people are mad.
And that's fair.
Yeah. Well, the first reviews of Detective Pikachu are coming in, and guys, I don't want to get you too excited, but they're very positive.
No, get excited.
Robbie, I know you went and saw it, so without spoiling anything, what'd you think?
It was good. It was really good. I mean,
legitimately good.
Not ironically good.
Going into it, you are obviously still seeing a kid's movie, right? But there's also, look, Reynolds got a few lines in there that you're like, oh, okay, I see what you did
a
there,
couple
Ryan.
Of those Animaniacs
I
lines. I
caught
get,
that.
I
but yeah, no. I have very, very few complaints about it. And overall, yes, it is. It's broken the curse.
I love it.
Wow.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. The mid-season Invitational is underway out in Vietnam. This morning marked the beginning of the main event, and it was a crazy first day.
So... yeah, to say the least of it. So, I mean, we have to talk about real quick Invictus Gaming and Fongvu Buffalo, the match that led off the day. One of the most entertaining matches of League of Legends I have watched in a long time. They did not win. I'm sorry. Man. But here's the thing. Invictus Gaming is the defending world champions.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have a good match with Fongvu Buffalo. It was a 50-kill clown fiesta of a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Super entertaining. Invictus pulls it out. They managed to win. They also defeated G2 Esports. G2 leading off the day with a victory over SK Telecom T1.
Mm-hmm.
That was shocking.
Yeah,
and very
and
boring. It was a tough match to watch. Here's the big news, though, is Team Liquid.
Yeah.
2-0, opening up this tournament the right way. I mean, granted, they beat Flash Wolves and they beat Fongvu Buffalo, who are 0-4 combined. So, you know, we can't get too excited, but it's not like they didn't look good in those matches.
Yeah, I was about
great.
To say, it was the manner of the victory. I mean, Fongvu, the match against Fongvu Buffalo, pretty much after about the 15th minute, they looked in total control. They were securing objectives at will, and they just kind of leisurely pushed their way into a win.
Yeah.
And they really look more competent even than G2 and SK in many cases, in my opinion.
I really thought G2 was going to avenge their loss at Worlds last year. I thought they were going to get the win over Invictus. They start off, they have a great game against SK. Invictus looks shaky against Fongvu Buffalo. And then we get them basically getting off to a 3-0 lead. It looks really good. Invictus just said, oh, wait a minute, we're supposed to be really good, aren't we? And they just turned on the Jets and dumpster G2 Esports. So that was rough. I'll be curious to see how the next 4 days go.
All right. Well, we're going to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll go over all the announcements from the latest Sony State of Play. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll talk about moms in video games. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Mother's Day is this weekend, and it's got us thinking about the role that mothers play in video games. In fact, you can check out our list of the top mothers in video games over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Yeah.
But why don't we see more moms in video games? Because I was the one who kind of came up with this list.
Yes.
And, you know, when we started to think about it, we struggled to come up with 10.
It was hard.
And that's the thing, really, is because I feel like if we had to think of the top 10 fathers in video games, I don't feel like we'd have struggled to get 10 at all.
No,
we'd have argued about who should make the list.
Well, and we probably wouldn't have had to put villains on there as well.
That's true, because we did. We had to put some villains on that list.
We did.
So it's hard to say that's the top. It is the top mothers of all time. It's just that includes some bad guys,
too.
They have good intentions.
It also happens to be almost all the mothers total. You know, if you do a Google search, don't just take my word for it, of maybe other sites that have done similar lists, there's a lot of overlap.
Well, and specifically, too, I actually don't think anyone on our list is actually the main protagonist. They're all
That's the bigger point.
That's a really good point, because that
is the question. Can you name a protagonist, the main protagonist that you play as
that has a kid,
who's a
that
mother?
That's strictly a mother in canon? No. The closest I came up with was Fallout 4 if you play a female. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Because that's the plot, is that you're a parent. Yeah.
Does cooking mama count?
Is she a mother?
I have no idea.
Do we have any reference to her kids?
I have no idea.
I don't have a clue.
No idea. I don't think. I see that. But that's the thing. Is like how come it's so easy for us then to go, all right, let's name a couple of fathers in video games? Because The Last of Us springs to mind immediately.
Yeah. God of War 4.
God of War. That's a great one. The Evil Within.
Yeah,
these
sure.
are all things where you play... As a father or a middle-aged, you know, father.
A grizzled middle-aged man.
We never get that role as the mother. And, I mean, obviously that's not something I think that's unique to video games. That's a film problem very much, too.
Nate, we just left off a great one from the list. Aerith's mom from FF7.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I forgot about that.
How did we choose Genova over her?
Because Genova was funnier to write about.
Fair enough. That's fair.
I mean, that's reasonable.
That's fair enough.
But, I mean, you're like, you put your list on there. You have Joyce Price on there.
Sure.
Who is an incredible example of a mother. I say it on that article, is that in a game that is full of characters who are very real, she is maybe the most real. She deals with real problems, but she's not your main character by any stretch of the imagination.
Why not, though? I mean,
why can't there be a game where someone like that is your main character?
Exactly. That's the question that I'm putting forth. Not specifically why didn't Life is Strange focus more on Joyce. I get it. There's a story to tell there. But I'm curious why, you know, video game creators feel like there's not a story to tell from a maternal angle.
I mean, one obvious angle could be not enough women and mothers in writers' rooms. Just point blank, period.
Yeah.
Because when you have representation, you have more voices in the room, even from a producer or director standpoint as well.
Sure.
So, you know, let's say a great story does come along. Does he get greenlit? Does he get the funding? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's part of it, but I would love to see a game like that because that's an angle and that's something that we haven't, as consumers, got the chance to try to connect with.
Well, I've got one. Technically.
What?
Bayonetta. The little girl.
Yeah.
But that's you, technically.
That's you.
It's the younger version of you. I don't know.
Okay,
she calls you mummy.
Well, to Nate's point, and even a little bit to what Norris was saying, too, you know, in the recent years, we have started to see, you know, a few more female protagonists pop up. Obviously, you know, Tomb Raider has been rebooted.
Sure.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right.
You know, bring up the Life is Strange series, right?
Sure. But they're always young.
Exactly. They're still not... mothers.
They're not
mothers. And I feel like, you know, especially when we're talking about the AAA system,
right,
where so much of a game design comes down to decision by committee, that if there is a decision to go with a female protagonist, there's probably a push to make her young, sexy,
attractive,
single,
yeah,
available, those types of things, so that, you know, it attracts the male gaze at the same time.
But at the same time, why, like, Lara Croft,
which is let's be honest, I mean, like, is exhausting, I think. Like, in a lot of ways, is just like, ugh, this again.
Is Lara Croft or Samus less appealing of a heroine if she has a kid?
No.
Yeah, but at the same time, when we talk about those, when we talk about those grizzled guy fathers, like, the kid is a part of the plot. And I think maybe people feel really weird about a kid being a central plot in the plight of a mother.
Well, at the same time, though, like, when think about the standard story archetype. You're the kid, and your mom died young, and the father is missing and or important in some way. God of War, once again, the mom, the mom died when you were young, and the father is an important part of the story. Final Fantasy X, Jekt is an important part of the story. Your mom died when you were young. Like, that is the archetype,
the
story.
Go-to trope.
Yeah, it's never
the
your
other
dad
way.
Died, and mom, here's mom just trying
and mom's
her best.
A big part of the story.
Yeah.
Well, Chrono's mom, there was no mention of a dad.
That's fair.
She
I'll
doesn't really do
one.
Much except wake him up, though, so.
You know what's weird, though, is it's like the opposite in esports. Think about in esports, it's always the mother that is there with the athlete. You know, remember when we were at the at the Rocket League tournament? Mama Muffins, remember that?
Right,
There's that kind of fascination with the mother as opposed to traditional sports where it's almost always the father.
Yeah, it's an interesting paradigm. And, you know, I definitely think that if we're going to start seeing games that maybe try to... try to tap into that perspective, it's probably going to come from, you know, the indie game side of things.
I mean, that's almost always where these kinds of changes get their start.
We'll
get an indie game at some point where you do play as a mother, and then I see what you're getting at, Norris. There's like that kind of, it's almost a taboo in our culture of the mother struggling with their child in danger, that sort of thing.
Because there's an inherent association that says if the kid is in danger, that's an inherent failure of
on the mother's part.
Sure.
Shout out, by the way, to Mass Effect 3 and Samara, where her whole storyline is my daughter's out there killing people and I have to put an end to it.
You're right. And again, Samara was one of the best parts of that game.
Yeah.
But again, far from a main character.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But imagine that as the game.
But I mean, like, yeah, why is it told in sub-stories?
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's a great point, Norris. Why not make that the sole focus of the game?
Like, if you explain that to me, if you say, oh, there's a Asari and her daughter is an Ardat Yakshi.
That she's been chasing for hundreds of years.
And this is sort of a part of that story.
Oh, that'd be cool.
There are so many potential stories in there.
Like, that's a great game.
Yeah. Sure, it's a compelling hook, and I think something that more people would connect to than I think the cynical suits in the video game industry seem to think would connect to it.
We're seeing this a little bit now with siblings. We're seeing, like, the older sister or something like that. You're seeing that kind of dynamic. I know there's that plague-themed game that's coming out that's very much that dynamic.
Big sisters.
I'm wondering if that's not, like, the bridge kind of into this sort of storyline.
Older siblings looking after a younger one.
Because as more of a peer, you could be seen as more of an adventuring buddy and less as a caretaker.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that.
Anyway, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, so anyway, the way that we end our list over at Checkpoint XP is to say your mom, you know, because let's be honest, your mom, those two words generally come up when you're on Xbox Live or any kind of voice comms, you know, anything that's competitive. So, you know, like, your mom takes a lot more abuse online than I think than she's really aware of.
Than she knows she does. Correct.
So, you know, given that, maybe send her some extra flowers or do something extra nice for Mother's Day.
Or sometimes just give her a call.
This is just a big reminder that this weekend is Mother's Day.
It's Sunday, guys.
Don't forget.
Call your mom.
Yeah. Seriously.
Do it.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. What are some moms that maybe we forgot off of that list? Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily with Sony's second State of Play in the books, we'll go over all the announcements. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including two brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the launch of the new Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective, with the brand new Sarah emote. Check it out over at our Twitch page, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Sony recently held their second State of Play conference. Once again, it was a relatively short presentation, about maybe 10 minutes in length, if that. But they managed to put out some better announcements this time around. So let's go over what was announced.
All right. So leading off, we have the reveal of Monster Hunter World Iceborne, the first expansion to the game, and it'll be coming out a little bit later this year, September 6th.
Back into it, I think.
No, seriously, man. Seriously, it looks really good.
Impressive.
Capcom, they did additional streams or allowed additional streams of it on their channel. And it does. It looks really good. Looks really fun. The new monsters that I saw look very fun to fight.
Yeah.
And this so, is what I'm back in, man.
Specifically about the new monsters, too. And granted, I just kind of went through what would be considered like the main story. I didn't play like super deep in like the real grindy high level stuff. But a lot of those monsters look like new monsters, not just like reskins.
Not a reskin, yeah.
New monsters.
And not like an Arctic theme of a monster,
Which is great. I mean, Capcom usually does very good, you know, stuff when they do DLC injections like this. My question for you guys, are you guys getting back into it like now ahead of the DLC?
Yeah,
or?
I gotta grind up. I still got like three dragons I gotta kill.
I actually might start fresh because I think that I have it because I bought it on PS4 myself, but then I think that I got it gifted on Steam, so I might actually start
I think
fresh.
I have a copy of it on Steam. Yeah, what do you play it on, Norse? PS4?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I mean, because I'm considering picking it up playing it. Yeah,
I mean, Monster Hunter is a pretty unique game. At the end of the day, it's the best-selling game Capcom's ever had. So, all right, up next we've got Riverbond. It's a four-player co-op title, features some famous characters like Shovel Knight and Diablo-esque dungeon crawler.
Boring.
I feel like we've seen a lot of these.
This is a snooze fest, and it really just looked like an excuse to do crossover with cutesy indie titles.
Yeah, I mean, this is an indie title in and of itself.
Oh, I know.
Like,
I'm just saying.
When I first saw it, I thought Katie would actually really like that, and the fact that it's a co-op, this would be great to play together on our Switch.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, darn.
Uh-oh. Up next, we got the Medieval remake.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for this.
Looks good.
Can we just remake that entire year of video games? Like, just Sony, just remake everything that you put out. Like, I just want...
'99.
Yes, I want a new Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver redone. I want new Metal Gear Solid.
Be careful. Because they're doing this with FF7, and we'll get to that.
We sure will. That's coming out October 25th, 2019. Looks
cannot
awesome.
Wait.
Keeping the spirit of the original, it's awesome.
I am honestly looking forward to this.
Up next, we got Away, Tales of Survival. It looks like you play as a flying squirrel. I don't know about this one. Puzzle solving, platforming. It's like
why?
It's a like a AAA take on like games like Inside or those kind of indie side scrolling games that we've been getting
but
lately.
Who wanted this?
No one.
Who asked for this?
No one.
Furries.
Probably. Probably. That would make sense.
Yeah.
That could be.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're currently going over the announcements from out at the State of Play. It wasn't out at the State of Play.
It's a stream.
10-minute streamed video. Yep. This next game, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man, am I excited about this.
All right, up next, we got Predator Hunting Grounds. So this was just a first look. We didn't get a ton of, like, much
in
the way of gameplay.
It was like a mini trailer.
A trailer, basically. So we can only glean a little bit. I don't know if we're playing as the hunter, as the predator, or as the humans.
I mean, at first we thought this might be the new Ghost Recon until we saw
that's
the predator.
Yeah,
and you know what? I'm really hoping that it is it's sort of like an evolved style, like four people play as the Marines, one person plays as the predator.
Dead by Daylight.
Daylight. That's what I'm really hoping that it is. And with the success of that kind of style of game,
because we saw
that's
with Friday the 13th, also.
Exactly.
Like,
yes,
this is, like, one person plays as the super being. And
it works.
I mean, it's the old juggernaut modes in old video games, like Halo.
Didn't Left 4 Dead 2 do that?
Absolutely,
where you, like,
they
one
did.
Person
they
played
did.
Zombie?
Yeah.
Very well they did that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And lastly, I mean, the big one, I mean, there was also an announcement of a new PlayStation 4 that no one cares about, but the big one, Final Fantasy VII Remake, we got to look at it.
Well,
wow.
We got to look at the first 10 minutes.
We got to sneeze
the
at
beginning.
And 10 minutes is being generous, by the way.
Look, I know that you guys are going to beat up on this in just a second. I will say that graphically, it looks gorgeous.
Oh, like, it's Square Enix. No one's going to argue with that.
It always looks gorgeous. But, I mean, particularly, they seem to have done attention to detail for Final Fantasy VII's world very well.
Actually, that's specifically what I want to sort of touch on right there. Is one of the things they said early on is that they are going to try to stay true to sort of like some of the kookiness of that world, like monster designs,
yeah.
For
Midgar
example.
Midgar is a weird place.
And we saw specifically, like, there was like this big weird machine looking thing and like a snake sort of thing. Like, those are the enemies from the original FF. So to that point, yeah, they're staying pretty true to it.
As far as the combat goes, it looks like they're borrowing FF15, which is kind of what we all kind of expected.
I'm not thrilled by that, but at the same time, I mean, it won't have the warping mechanics, so like that's kind of a plus, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus.
It might be, it might not be the worst thing in the world. let me put it that way.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Might not. Strong caveat. Emphasis on might.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that stood out to me was Barrett's voice.
For all the wrong reasons. They had a chance
to
fix it.
They had a chance, man. Because I don't know how many people know, man, he wasn't a Mr. T clone in the Japanese version.
No, he's been compared to like Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Badass, yeah. The way that his dialogue is, yeah.
Oh, well,
so
that's
I was not a big fan of it, but...
You're telling me the original...
You are assuming that when he's not in the middle of a combat sequence, because we did only really see him in the middle of combat sequences, that the voice is exactly the same. And I'll give you that I'm assuming the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
The average person would assume that.
I get it. I totally understand that. However, I will give them the room to go, okay, maybe he doesn't always talk like Mr. T.
We can only hope. So we are going to get more information about FF7 Remake in the near future. They said more to come in June.
So that's
E3. Which means E3. Or if it doesn't, what the heck are they doing? So we'll probably get it at their show, I would assume.
Takeaway thoughts. Second state of play is... Is this worth it? I mean, is this a good move for Sony?
I thought it was way better than the first one, and kind of alludes that they'll probably be monthly.
If they're monthly, this is fine.
Yeah. I like that, too.
15 minutes every month to give me an update on what you're doing?
Yeah, and it really is easily digestible content. So if this is their plan moving forward, I actually am turning around and looking at it a little bit more positively than I initially thought.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of the second Sony State of Play? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.